Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
#WAW. What a week.
Yeah, yo.
What a week.
Eita, hola. Unlike North Korean leader Kim Jong-il visiting Vladimir Putin, we didn't arrive in a fancy armored train, nor did we bring any firearms as gifts. However, we hope you do like what we did bring to share with you in this week's show. So welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
He's actually not our celebrity guest. He's our guest for You Can't Make This Shit Up. His first name is derived from an ancient phrase meaning stone of help. Not stoned, need help. Which also happens to be the name of a location of a biblical battle. Ironically, he's also been through a range of struggles to get to this point. And no, we're not referring to Joburg traffic. So please give a warm welcome to Ebenezer Di Bakwane.
Hey.
What's up, my dog?
Hey, steady chilling.
Are you good?
I'm all right, King. How are you?
My man, when I first saw you on stage some years back, your hair was everywhere, here, there, everywhere. Now you're dressed all Hollywood. What's going on? What,
I'm like, trying to get there.
Like, what is this?
I'm trying to get to Hollywood, bro. All right? Figuratively make it, no? Is that not a thing?
So what is
in this,
this
industry? I don't know, man. I think for a long time, I thought that, like, you know, I just had to have talent and it's going to work out.
You think it's enough?
Yeah. Talent is not enough.
Dude, I'm even seeing you acting now.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
No, man. So I grew up in the church, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't grow up in the building.
You're not like a church mouse.
I wasn't like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. No, but my...
Rub.
Esmeralda! No. I grew up in a family that is church going.
Yes, sir.
So Sunday school plays, you know. So yeah. I've been acting, yeah.
So you were on Netflix the other day.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
Oh, Miss Education. Brentangian Productions did this thing, right? Which is a little bit full circle because my first ever television role was around 2016, 2017. It's right in Gubeni.
Yes.
It was a show called Tulino Tulani.
Yeah.
And so when they gave me this role, I was like, welcome back to the family, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, but like, I need to say this to Reti and Kat. Guys, I hate...
Your camera's there.
Over here.
Yeah.
Guys, when you guys are like, yo, mama, what you cooking? An onion that you burnt. Mama, what you cooking? An onion. You guys burnt the onion. Love you guys.
You are trying to get other gigs, right?
Of course.
Okay, so stop roasting people's burnt onion names.
No, I love
you,
it. I love
you use it, don't use it.
No, we're family, we're family.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
How did comedy happen to you?
Oh, man, that's a very interesting way to ask that question, which I appreciate. A series of misfortune.
Yeah.
You know? Grew up in Nelspruit, one of the first families, right?
Okay.
Born at Rob Ferreira.
In Nelspruit.
In Nelspruit.
Okay.
Lived my first month of life in White River,
okay,
up the road.
Yes.
Came back to Nelspruit a month later with the first black people.
What do you mean, first black people?
First black people in the street, second black people in the street.
But oh, as in the, you're the first, okay, so you're the first, second black family on your street.
On the street.
Okay.
And then...
But you're a month old.
And it's a crescent also.
Oh, flip, so nowhere to run. if there's a lynching...
But I'm going to nowhere. but for 7 years I grew up very oblivious to the fact that, like, you know,
things are not okay.
But like, I'm like 7 years old, and until like I'm 10, I'm having to wake up every Friday earlier to go remove all the rubbish bags of the whole street from the driveway.
What do you mean?
They used to leave all their rubbish bags on dustbin day in front of our gate.
Hold up. So
the
white families on your street, where there were only other two black families.
No, the other one was in government. They didn't mess with him.
On trash day,
used to
trash your front yard.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
And how did your parents explain that to you?
I don't know, man, because my dad is very weird. My dad was like, hey, lukhwapap.
Yeah.
You know? But then, like, my best friends were white, dude.
From the same street.
So when they come through, all of a sudden there's Romany Creams in the house. Like, hey, on. How's it, young man? What's crackalacking in the bushveld?
They just don't know that it wasn't Oros they were drinking. I'm sure your dad would hide behind the fridge. Today they will land.
I don't know. Happiness. That's your juice.
Evidence, the red one.
I'm joking. No. No, man. So my dad was very cool, very chill. You know, he didn't want to, like, because he obviously went through a lot, obviously, yeah. You know. So then, yeah, man. And then, like, for me, like, even now, when, like, I meet a lot of my bosses,
yeah,
right, who happen to be of a lighter complexion.
Sure.
I'm always weirded out by when, like, what's your name? Ebenezer. All right, Ebenezer. I'm like,
Ebenezer.
I just, you know, but I want the money, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, so why is it so difficult for you to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like it's a very emotional, tumultuous sort of journey. So it's consistent. But I'm like, so instead of being angry, because you don't want to be that guy, I laugh through it. I'm like, dude, okay. I just said my name.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, no.
No. Clan.
Inshansha. Hey, man. Whatever, man. Who do I invoice? Who do I invoice? Your hand. All right, John.
How long did
the long-winded answer to your question about comedy happening
It happened to you. Mm. So you were actually, you were the content.
I had to diffuse situations.
Yeah, like, yeah.
This is weird.
But when did you realize that I can actually make money from this shit?
Oh, man. I've always had, like, this grand idea. It's a line straight from Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
I've had this grand idea of myself, you know? I just thought my life, like, this old sport, you know what I mean, has to go up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Daisy can just remember, then the homie says, you can't repeat the past. Tobey Maguire, like, you can't repeat the past.
Yeah.
Our Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, like, you can't repeat the past. Like, of course you can.
Yeah.
If anything, the past repeats itself.
Sure.
Of course you can.
You just need to catch the repeat.
There we are.
Hmm?
Hmm? Hmm? Exactly.
There's so much depth here today.
I want to swear, but I'm saving my swear words.
So the first wild story. So the United Nations are meeting.
Yeah.
The General Assembly is on. And President Lula da Silva of Brazil gets asked about a bunch of male students at a university that have been expelled because the girls' volleyball team have won.
Mm.
And then a bunch of medical students, boys, I think 7 of them, then run onto the field, onto the court. And then they pull their pants down and they have a group wank.
Hey, Brazil, not just soccer. You guys are wild out there, bro.
So these students pulled down their pants and they had like a group wank in the circle to celebrate the victory of the girls' volleyball team.
Choga bonita.
And
Olé! Olé, olé, olé!
So, in fact, so this story had almost not become a big issue until the video went viral.
Mm.
And then President Lula da Silva gets asked about this thing at the UN General Assembly.
Which thing? This thing or...
The
event.
So he's like, we can't have kids who want to be doctors one day and, deal with people having a group wank.
Yeah.
So these 7 boys have been expelled.
It's all love, though.
What is all love?
It's all love. Like, the world is weird. You understand? Right now, do you think I speak English? Like, we're speaking English. 2 black men. I don't know where in the world you're watching this from, but there's 2 black men who both know Setswana. All right? Speaking English. You think that they're like, here's some English. No, they whipped it into us. And those are our leaders and heroes. Young smarts. Young smarts. I drove past Young smarts. Still there.
You drove along Young smarts.
Everything is gross, man.
And you know Young smarts Avenue so long, you almost think like it's so long just to remind you.
General Assembly. General Assembly. General Young smarts.
Because you drive. You're like, I'm still Young smarts. Yo. Half a for now.
Hey, let me fix my Africans. 200 my Joe. Thank you, my fro. Thank you, my fro. And yeah, can I income? Yes.
Near Basekani.
Near Basekani, they do need want like us. Hey, a beginning. Also, white people are so... Sorry, guys. No, I'm not racist. I promise. I'm not.
He's not racist. His teeth are white.
Some of my best friends are sons of the devil. So,
oh, wow.
I'm kidding. No. So, like, the thing is, like, for me, obviously it's gross, you know? And I think we know it's gross.
Yeah.
But, like, because the world is becoming very soft, there's this desperation to do real evil.
Okay.
You know, it's like when you're rich, normal sexual encounters aren't nice anymore.
Tell us more.
All of a sudden now...
Is this why people go to Dubai to get pooed on?
Yeah. It's too much. It becomes normal. Excess becomes normal.
Mm.
So in the same way, these guys are like, wow, my life is just too good. Let me do something gross. Grossness is like the status quo.
But you are reaching rock star levels as a comedian, actor. So how well is your shit getting?
I'm so fresh. I got a few contracts I need to finish first. I'll let you know, though. I'll call you, bro. I just saw you at the last party, the last sex party. We were together, dog.
But I saw the Arab outfit you bought that's outside there. We don't yell among weekend, too.
I can eat it, you. Come on up here. By the way, Mr. Bench, I've been playing this joke for you the whole entire day.
What joke is it?
I'm just glad, like, for the youngins watching the show, I'm glad that I grew up in that time when you actually were fresh.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to do that. That's a can't do that. You're an adult, dog. I'm not going to do it. That's a guy. Okay?
No, I'm listening. Let's hear it.
That's a guan. That's a guan, nigga.
Naruto,
nigga. Naruto, sweet.
Yeah.
A company.
Oh, that's the hair, I know. How wild do you tweet or social media?
Oh, I'm struggling.
Because you're wild on stage.
I'm struggling, man, because I gotta want to be brand aligned, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. So you have to manage your social media presence.
I had to change one of my names. One of my names was like Chakra Kant, right?
So you're not Chakra Kant anymore?
No.
So like, now you identify as what?
Chakra Zulu, right? But it's because of Chakra Zulu. And then I was like, Robot Boy, I love you, boy. Nah, so I didn't know that Robot Boy was...
Zaki Mbule's son.
I didn't know that at all, right? Because he started coming, he used to do stand-up, by the way, guys, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
And then, so I had a name, Zaki Bullshit.
Oh, wow.
I just felt Robot Boy distancing himself from him, like a Robot Boy.
He's like, why are you so robotic?
Zaki Bullshit.
Oh, wow.
Because it is, everything that we say, bro, is, you know, I try not to pray in English even because it doesn't connect with my idea of the larger space.
Okay.
Mm. So I try to pray in my own language.
Okay.
Which is Pulana, Mapulana boy.
Oh, yes.
From Mapulana.
Sure.
You know?
So how would the prayer go?
No. Pulana. Oh, okay. Can I pray?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Now let's go.
Papa, ke ka mopela gago ka maotle matsogo fela ka lerato papa ke leboga matla gago lerato la gago le mogao mphileng ona kopela le kgone gore nthuse gore ke sepele pele ke fitlhe mo tshwanetse ke fitlheng gona ka lerato le ka thapela are.
What if he doesn't hear us when we speak in Bantu?
What if he's busy tweeting?
He's like, Gabriel, bring the...
You know,
bring the translator, man.
That's Hebrew. That's Israeli. No, dude, I once prayed. I prayed and I'm like, Lord, I feel like you don't
no,
see me.
No, but at least the...
You don't hear me.
Sound a bit like you're speaking Hebrew.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So he might be like, I know he's trying. Gabriel, make it happen.
No, man, once I pray, I'm like, Lord, I feel like you don't see me. I feel like you don't give me attention. I feel like I'm left behind. And then the thunder cracked and it's like, and that's Jolly. So now you know Zulu for sure. Like, dog, hey, man, I'm still paying child support for Mary now. This honey came to heaven, dog.
That's Jolly.
Yeah, you know what I did to my son, right? My own son.
No, stop.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I love you, Lord.
We're hanging out with Ebenezer D. Pakwane. Don't forget to subscribe. There's a subscribe button there. So subscribe, show us love, show him love, find him on social media. I know none of us can spell Ebenezer, so what do we look for on social media?
I really appreciate it. I saw the message today from my agent. Please forward to Ebenezer. I'm like,
Ebenezer. Okay, so how do we spell it? We literally just go Ebenezer.
And E-B-E-N-H-A-E-Z-E-R.
Okay, so Ebenezer.
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 If you want to phonetically say it.
Ebenezer. That's how we find you on social media.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The reason I'm asking about tweeting wildly, author Jackie Pamotse has been found guilty of criminal defamation for tweets she published about Basitsana Khumalo and her hubby Romeo. And what's wild is the fact that she thought she could get away with it because she didn't mention names. But, you know, if it becomes easy details. For people to know that, okay, Ebenezer, but he pulled down his pants and said, Ebenezer.
We know no, no, I'm Ebenezer, I pull her pants down, until the little one, Billy. Like Ebenezer. And
very. No, my man, put your pants back on. What are you doing?
I'm going to change. It's wild, bro. We're changing up. Wow. What a week.
It's the first time we've had a wardrobe change. Bonang Mateba was found trembling because only Bonang does wardrobe changes. So I just take.
Yeah, bro, out here.
My man, is this a toilet?
I think so.
Let's see, my man. Don't
take my money.
My man, did you take your grandmother's toilet? I was like, I want to turn this into pants.
And I put a tag on, Mr. Fresh. And I put an elastic in. This is hilarious. You should actually do this for a profession.
Yeah, you know what the problem is, Yanong? Your grandmother is like, now my kettle is cold.
It's cold. As a gangelash, Yabanda.
Anyway, so I think it's hopefully a lesson for people who feel they can tweet recklessly. And get away with it. Because I think to add insult to injury, you know, even after the whole case was opened, then she writes a book, says I tweet what I want, sue me. Now it has happened, the NPA involved, you've been found guilty. In October, chances are you're going to be told you must go to jail.
You know what, ne? And yeah. I agree for the idea of tweeting what you want, you know what I'm trying to say. I think that there's a very difficult
space. But at whose expense, though?
Of balance, exactly.
At whose expense?
That is all.
Yeah.
That is all I'm trying to be like. You know, like, so even like when in stand-up by some of my friends, it's the best comedians in the country.
Yeah.
You know, all of my friends are like the best in the world, actually.
Sure.
You know, I see you had Moja Kluhoko, that's my comedy dad, bro. Sure. You know, so it's like, cool, you know, but like, you will be in front of like Caucasian audiences.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, because black people, you don't have to read. You know, and then I can't not speak about it. So I go on stage after like 10 comedians talk about what black people I thought I was black.
Okay, so hold up. So you go and defend. Now you must defend us.
I'm like, guys, I thought I was
you
black.
You feel like you're the only white guy, you're the only black guy at the braai. Now you must defend all black people.
Yeah, so you feel like
that on stage.
I can't even eat chicken when I'm chilling with my white friends. I can't unless one of them orders it. I'm like,
so what do you do when watermelon walks across the stage?
No, Ebenezer, no.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's like, so like I wait for one of them to order, like my piece of a soy loin. Yeah. And then someone's like, can I get a
bucket chicken? Of chicken?
And I'm like, what is that? How do you pronounce that? Chicken? Let me try it out. Let me figure out what it's about. I heard it's nice.
Yeah. I have no idea. Oh, fuck.
Me and Karabo, so you guys already have it. So me and Karabo grew up together, right? Karabo Mogani, he won Idols other year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the musician. So me and him grew up together, but like we grew up in some. They made enough money. Like Dave Chappelle has a joke about just enough to be poor in town.
Oh yes, but you can't make
so
it to the suburbs.
We only eat meat like maybe twice a month.
Oh yes. And that was a special
cabbage
occasion.
Cabbage and bones.
Yeah, that was a special occasion.
Yeah. Heavy cabbage meat. And bones.
And then you'd have custard and jelly the last Sunday of the
month. December, dog. What?
Oh, sorry. December. I guess we were rich.
We
had custard and rice on the last Sunday.
That's amazing. It sounds gross, but I want custard too. So was it the cooked custard or was it the one in a in a pot.
It's yours then. No, it's going to be cooked from scratch, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cooked from scratch.
Yeah, this cocoa.
Man. Yeah, and then you go sit outside alone.
Run away.
Thinking like you hit the lottery. just scraping eating that crust.
Yes. You know, so Kalaba and I used to go to, back and forth between our families every weekend. And we used to fight. So, because it was cabbage every day or bones, right? Pork bones. I don't know if you know that meal where they boil the bones.
Yes.
So it was either that. That's all we ate. My mom was also wild.
It's broth. Kisopo. We call it sopo.
That's cool. I get right now we're speaking English, dog. Yeah, I get talking. We are speaking. Right? So I used to fight when he'd be like, come through, we're cooking meat. Because he'd go back and forth. I'm like, nah, dog, this weekend, stay here. I saw my mom buy meat.
Yeah.
You know? And then he'd come to my crib and then, like, they cook cabbage that Sunday. And like, you motherfucker. He walked back to his crib, bro. For meat. Our parents knew. It was like meat, bro. Meat was amazing at the time. And I'm over it. I'm vegan now.
Oh, is that why you're wearing a plant? I thought this thing looked like a plant.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Dude, no, what? Yeah?
Oh, God.
What? Who said what? Who said what? Wow. What are we...
Do your folks ever regret giving you a biblical name?
I don't think they regret giving me a biblical name, you know what I mean? Because my name means so far, so good, right? So, as you guys say, stone of help, but it means Mudima Abale Rena, Ufikelafa, Ngulu Wabanati Kufikela up.
Ah, okay.
God, so far, God has been with us. And a young homie, Khabani Muloi, Babi Muloi's little brother, by the way, great comedian, is coming up. He said, so far, so God, you know?
Mm.
And so for real, man, I'm taking a journey with the Lord, you know.
God
I mean?
Is upstairs, I was like, not that one.
But, and I know God is hilarious. You know I know he's hilarious, no?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because he told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and he's like, Uncle Ntwana Yako.
Wow.
Even Ntwana was like waking up with Abraham, he's like, Papa, I see the wood. I see the knife. I see that. Where's the meat? Where is the meat? Like a Norox ad, right? Where is the meat? And then he's like,
I'm not worried.
And then homie put his kid on the altar. And like, God, like, wow! I'm kidding, dude. What? This guy loves me. He's talking to the angels. This nigga loves me. Wow, dude, chill. Wow, you crazy, man. Yo, Abraham, chill, dog. And I knew very early, like, nah, man, we're gonna have a nice walk. So, I'm figuring it out.
And 2,000 years later, we have Norox.
Yeah. Where is the meat? Where is the meat? You can have a point. You are wearing a fandak, baby.
So, there's a wild story of a bride who left her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Over a cake prank.
Yeah.
So she told her fiancé, hubby-to-be, that she doesn't like cake pranks.
Yeah.
Because her entire life has been cake pranks.
Yeah.
On her birthday, I think her mom poured cake in her face.
She got a scar.
But basically, she doesn't like cake pranks. Mm. And she made it clear, I don't like cake pranks. On the wedding day, what does fucking idiot do? Ends up cutting the cake, takes cake, hoes in her face. So she left. Got into an Uber and she left.
Pops, got Uber. Imagine got Uber, dog.
With cans at the back, just divorced.
Just divorced. Yeah, dog, I hope it was an Uber Black.
Was that petty, do you think?
Is that petty?
Yeah.
Bro, not for me, nah. I had a very close friend, a homie, I won't say his name, actually. And then it was like, white dude, my best friend for a long time. I was like, what's up, my nigga?
From the cul-de-sac or after you left the cul-de-sac?
From just next door. It's another cul-de-sac. And like,
the other cul-de-sac was less racist than the one you're on?
He was Portuguese.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he was one of us.
So, come on, dog, chicken and boobs.
Yeah.
You know? And then I was like, what's up, my nigga? I'm like, dog, I know that you're not racist, but like,
don't call me my nigga.
Please.
Yeah.
You know? And he gave up our friendship. Mm. Am I petty? I know he's not racist. I lived in his house. No. I shed in his toilet twice a day. No, he didn't let me. I shed there. I was just chilling in the house alone. You know what I'm trying to say?
So, and they didn't ask you to go use the one outside?
No, they did not. Wow. So the whole point.
So you were family.
The whole I was family. Like I lived.
But there's still a line, though.
Dog. I had a key.
Hey, banana.
You know, I used to go there on my own.
So bro. You're Ebenezer Ferreira Ramos. Yeah. What you were actually?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you're family.
You know.
So why was it? I know why it's a problem. Why yes. Him saying my nigga to you is a
the
problem.
The problem is about my political space.
Oh yes, yes,
my,
yes.
My stand up in the context.
Sure.
The context. In which I operate.
Sure.
For me, being funny is the same thing as being a clown. For me personally, I'm talking about my personality.
Being funny is the same as?
Same thing.
What do you mean?
Being like, can be smart, it's all dicks and pussies, man.
Oh, wow.
It's all the same shit. We just articulate ourselves better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Hmm.
But I'm asking my bro, please don't do this. It's a word, man. It's just one word. You know, I don't think that you're a terrible human being. You know, and I think that we don't give enough. Each other enough grades. I didn't give enough grades because I could still have a great friend, but you know, I let go of that relationship. Mm. Same thing. Don't put cake in my face, man.
Mm.
I don't like being touched in the face. One of the women that I used to love a lot just did this, and
my heart, did this.
She did this.
Why would she do that?
I did that thing. I was naughty. And
naughty how?
I was unfaithful.
So you deserve this then, Mus?
I didn't deserve that. That's the one.
So what did you deserve then?
Leave. Or leave.
Okay. But don't belittle me.
Don't touch.
It's like a push slap. Like don't push slap me. Because a push slap, I'd rather you hit me with your fist than you push slap me.
So you and I are fellow divorcees.
We are fellow divorcees.
No. I divorced poverty. But like, listen, poverty is a Zimbabwean lady. I love poverty. I'm joking.
You're so dumb.
It's again funny. I was getting emotional there. No, man. Yeah, man. So it's like, it's not petty, dog. It's a personal trauma that you have.
But so what did that remind you of, though? Did it remind you of living on a racist street?
I'm going to snitch on my sisters. My sisters got permission from my dad, and they were very young, slapped in the face. I'm the last born at home. And so when I started, like, making cash, I was just like, dog, you remember? What do you want?
Mm.
Okay, cool. But do you remember?
Mm. And what did they say when you're
sorry, dog. You give me an outline, you know. Sorry guys, I'm sorry I snitched, but like, you know, so that being touched in the face for me is like, I can risk it all.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But don't touch my face though.
Don't touch my face. Even when I fight, if I fight in a street brawl, I don't touch anybody's face. I can't.
What do you mean?
No, I won't win against you because there's a lot of muscle.
It's a bag here.
It's muscle. I'll hit you in the side.
What if you hit a guy in the face?
Yeah, but
why are we fighting if you're gonna now just hit my man boobs?
Hmm?
Like, why are we fighting then? Why are you not trying to win?
Yeah.
Why are you not trying to win? So you're gonna now aim for the neck. You're like, let me search for a neck.
No, bro.
What if it's a guy like this? What if it's a guy like this?
Like you.
A guy like this with
no neck. You don't have to do that, Mr. Fish. Why is he acting like his shoulders are that far away from his face? You are a guy like that. Don't be weird. What if it's Afan Ndombele? Is that what you're asking me? I love you, sir.
No, nothing a kick can't fix.
Yeah, 2 feet, dog. I'm not going to hit you in the face.
Even just one is enough.
Yeah, you don't mean 1 feet. All right, this guy's a genius. Trademark that. He's a genius.
It's a shot one from two sides.
What a week. No, man, there's a lot of love, man. I know. Yeah. I was on. I'll see the station.
Mm-hmm.
I was on YFM, right?
Yeah.
The other day.
Love and YFM.
Yeah. Because you're allowed to say S and nigger. I always abuse it. I'm like, hey, man, I'm a good S nigger, man. You know, how you doing? Hey, man, this S nigger life of mine has been S good.
I'm loving your chair. My S is comfortable. You know,
because you're allowed to say those two words and why. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they get away
like,
with
nigga,
it.
What?
love it so much.
I think generally radio here gets away with way more than, say, radio in the US.
Yeah, for sure.
So you will never hear...
Public radio.
But even commercial radio. Mm. Obviously, online radio is different.
Of course.
But, you know, just for your standard terrestrial broadcasters, and even in the US, they're very strict with what words are allowed to be broadcast.
Mm. Can't even say gay.
No, I'm sure you can.
Can you?
No, I'm sure you can.
In the right context?
No, man. You're happy, Mus.
I'm happy.
Exactly. So you should be allowed to say that. What are you working on right now? Are there any shows we
right
can catch
now, on? Sir, I am writing a show for Mr. Ziggy Ngrovu, an actor, and DB. Sir DB.
Okay.
I'm a rapper. Can't talk too much about it. You know DB.
DB. Nah, I'm so tired of load shedding. I'm thinking distribution board.
No. DIBI.
Oh, okay. DB.
Greener.
So it's not DB. DB.
DIBI.
Okay, DB.
You know. And so I've had a lot of grace in that space. You know, I've gotten to reconnect with a certain of my elders as well.
Okay. What does that mean?
So you know, like I was very, I used to be pretty wild. Earlier on.
You haven't changed, though. Just took your pants off. After stealing grandma's doily off
hot.
A kettle
it was
and wearing
hot.
It
was getting
a
hot.
Teapot.
It was getting off in that second.
Yeah. No, I have that effect on guys and girls. I get it.
This man is ridiculous. I'm wild. All right.
Okay, so at your wildest, though, how bad was it? Like, at your wildest, where you even woke up and you're like, fuck, I fucked up.
I've never actually ever really felt like anything.
That's how bad, that's how bad it was.
You know, man, so the worst it was, I don't want to be emotional, you know?
No, get emotional, it's fine.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I've got two big shoulders you can cry on.
Okay. Yeah. This guy flirting, I don't know what's going on. But like,
no, I just, joking. I'm there for a brother, dog.
Yes, sir. For a long time, man, I just like... I want to skate through the traffic of life like a Zulu taxi driver. You know what I'm trying to say? No regard for anybody else, all the while counting my own cash.
Sure.
Yo,
so you were that guy?
That's all it was.
Along the yellow line and it's still fine.
Yo, you know, as long as I get the people, that's all I do, what I need to do. What I need to do, I'm doing. You know what I mean? Now I've already done that, bro. I've already done the greatest things that I'll ever achieve. I've got 2 Comics Choice Awards. You know what I mean? I'm a self-denominated writer. Like, now I'm focusing my life. I'm looking outward. And so outwardly, now I'm looking at their gaze, my kids. What do my nephews and nieces see? Cool, let me be stylish. Let me be a cool uncle. Let me not be embarrassed.
So at the time of your, I'd say, recklessness and selfishness, did anyone try to call you out?
They did try. And I left. I just disappeared. You know what? You're uncomfortable? Cool.
Is there anyone you'd like to maybe apologize to
that everybody.
That pulled at you the side and you were like, no, I'm...
I didn't do that. I was like, dude, I respect what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I appreciate. But if you want to walk with me, let's walk.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're not walking. You were driving on the yellow line.
There is a problem.
So I apologize. With no brakes.
I apologize to everybody, you know, everybody in my life, man. Even my own agent right now, Tabitha Hoy Forrest, Chris Forrest's partner.
Sure.
You know, I've made it very difficult for her to, you know.
You know, it's one thing apologizing, but are you apologizing because you're going to do things differently?
I am.
Or are you apologizing just hoping for a little bit more rope? Because sometimes we apologize... just for a bit more rope versus this is me committing to being different, doing better, being better.
Well, I have let go of making promises to anybody.
Okay.
Because I used to make a lot of promises and I used to break them.
But not making promises is not committing to change either, though.
No. But I'm saying I've gymmed every day for the past week.
Okay.
You know, been drinking water. I'm showing up to places sober, prepared, dressed well, clean shoes. I never used to clean my shoes, remember?
Yeah.
You know, a clean shoes. What do you want to
see? Or your hair.
Oh, my hair. Mm. I'm cutting my hair right now. I'm only like growing it. That's why I'm wearing hats, because I'm trying to get my hairline back, because okay. I've been going to the
you've
barber
been
shop every
oh,
day.
Oh, I thought you've been braiding.
And I keep on going back.
Hey, I hate that, hey? Mm. And you always tell him, my dude, bro, just don't go back. But they insist. Now they'll take the razor, the little razor thing.
Yeah.
The minora.
And I'm like, why is he here, bro? This nigga's over here. And I'm like, all right, you know. I also need to go home and look at myself.
Sure. What did it cost you, that behavior? You know,
it
whether
cost me a lot of money, man. Just money. And
whether it's money or roles or castings,
money, relationships, trust.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to earn trust. You know.
Sure.
By the grace of God, man. That's why, you know, I cannot act like this is just me, bro.
Mm.
You know, the last time. So, for those who don't know, the first time I met Mr. Fresh on Tate Sekwane, right? We had a show with Somizi.
Sure.
At Metro.
Metro,
I just come from drinking.
Yeah.
And I smelled of braai, of wood flame.
Yeah, yeah. He smelled of braai and of yesterday.
Yeah. And I was lit, you know. Yeah. Fortunately, you guys carried me well. You know, gave me a lot of grace.
No, because we brought you there to make you look good and sound good.
Yes.
So it was in our interest to. But in hindsight, maybe we should have called you out. Maybe we should have called you out.
Maybe. You know. So I was talking about why. And the lady said to me, the producer lady, she was like, "You'll never like an old cartoon Western guy. You'll never work in this town again.
Yeah.
Like, you'll never." I'm like, all right. I don't really care.
You know,
I had to say my piece.
Sure.
Because they were like, "Hey, man, so when did you figure out that you are funny? That's why I'm like, when you said comedy happened to you, like, I really appreciated the way you asked the question.
Sure.
And like, no, so who is Ebenezer? Then I made a mistake and I swore. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Ebenezer is, bro. It's a dumb question. Do dumb shit, bro.
Sure.
You know, like, then they cut the interview short, like, you'll never work here again. What happened? Netflix bought a spot and I walked past the office. I'm like,
back.
No consequences, no regrets, no regrets.
Is back.
You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm not trying to live like that anymore. I'm trying to, like, you know, I want to apologize to you too, ma'am. I don't even know your name, but, you know, I'm very sorry, bro. Mm. And I'm very, not apologetic, regretful.
Sure.
And I'm remorseful.
Mm.
Everything has to change now, Mr. Fresh.
Mm.
Everything.
So you're committing to doing better, being better.
Now. Look at my veins.
And unfortunately, veins are also for another reason. They might be good because you've got a fucking syringe in your back pocket. I don't know. So don't show off your veins. But so this is you committing to yourself.
To myself, to my family.
That you're going to love yourself more and better.
Myself, my family, my lady.
Sure.
And my art.
Mm.
So I'm practicing now. I'm sure. Studying. I'm, you know, I'm trying to say, I'm training.
Mm. Mm.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Sure.
Everything is changing, Mr. Fresh.
I hope so. In fact, I'm going to commit to helping you. And
thank you so much.
And holding your hand through it.
But thank you so much, sir.
Only because I believe sometimes we need an accountability partner.
Yes, sir. Yes. That's in the gospel.
They can call us out on our bullshit.
Yes, sir.
So I'm committing that. But I need you to, I'm not gonna be easy on you though.
Of course, sir. I don't want you to be. I don't need no.
But I also need you to need you to sign a disclaimer that Mpama once in a while is allowed.
I'm saying no! Wow! What a week! What a weekend! What a wow.
I promise it'll not be more than one a month.
Okay.
It won't be more than one a month. But when it comes, it won't be a warning.
All right.
It'll just be like the lightning there.
Sharp. Let me get my lawyer in. Can I get my lawyer? Is my lawyer outside? Did you guys leave him outside?
No, remember you told him to fuck off.
You guys told him to. You guys killed
remember
him.
Remember you lost everyone. My dude, thank you for coming through.
Thank you.
I've been a fan of your work, man. You know I've been a fan of your work.
Thank you so much, sir.
I'm glad you are holding yourself accountable.
Yes, sir.
For the bad mistakes you've made.
Yes, sir.
Bad decisions you've made. Mm. The bad roads you might have taken.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we need to go through being that person,
yes, sir,
to find our better versions of ourselves.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I'm hoping that you're finding a better version of yourself, my dude.
I'm loving myself.
Because you're supremely talented and it would be sad for you to lose everything.
Yeah.
To not get gigs, to not get bookings, to not get movies, because that would be a loss to the industry.
For sure.
So, so and to your nephews that you're talking about, and your aunt. So, yeah, please stay the course, my dude.
Yes, sir.
We need you to succeed.
Long haul.
We can't afford you to fuck up. You can't afford to fuck up.
Can't. I don't have the time, sir.
Yeah. So, please, let's bring the one Pama a man contract.
Well, I want to read it. Let me read it. Can I please go through the contract?
Read it with one eye so that you are practicing in case the Mpama lands. Because when the Mpama lands, one eye will close for a month.
I don't want to lose gigs.
My dude, I love you, my guy.
Thank you so much, Ntata Sekwane. Thank you so much,
bro. Dude, look after yourself.
Yes, sir.
Bro. And look after your talent, my dude.
Yes, sir.
I don't say this to many people, and I don't get like this with many people.
Yes, sir.
Fuck, I sound like I'm hitting on him.
Hey, man, I have that effect on women and men. Am I right? Now, I don't know why, big dog. I've got two big shoulders to cry on.
But, yeah, dude, I need you to look after yourself.
Yes, sir.
And look after your talent.
I will do that, sir.
Because there's only one Ebenezer, there's only one guy that does what you do the way you do it.
Of course.
So we won't be able to replace it. It'll be a loss for our industry.
Yes,
if one day you're an outcast because you simply can't just do right. So please do right, my dude.
I have to, sir.
Yes, sir. And Ebenezer Ferreira di Bakwani is about to leave the building.
Yes, sir. He's pretty hectic.
This is
Wow! What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest, our celebrity DJ, is in the building. So music has gone from a physical format to digital, and now in a way back to an original physical format. Our next guest has done something similar with his name. He was born Temba. Then as an artist chose the name Virus before he found Euphonic. But he's now decided to revert back to his original title. So please give a warm welcome to the artist formerly known as DJ Virus, formerly known as Euphonic, Temba Nkosi.
Utini co-accused.
You're so stupid.
Imagine my disappointment when you called the show What a Week instead of What a Life.
No. What a Life is still coming, though. What a Life is still coming. How are you doing, co-accused?
Really, really good. Really good. Like, I'd be lying if I said there was any things that are making me feel otherwise.
You've been on the road for a while.
Yeah.
But you've been home for the last week or two.
Yeah.
Tell us about the last week or two.
So the last week or two, my daughter's turned 10. We just bought a new house. So we're expanding and...
Did you buy a new house or did you extend?
Bought my neighbor.
Pelawa Black.
Yeah, bought my neighbor.
Flip, so you extended the compound.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a compound.
It's a compound.
Compound makes people ask questions. I call it a compound. But yeah, man, and I've had a very, very blessed last couple of years. So
yeah.
What we did is, it was my daughter's 10th. It was umsebenzi wokubonga abantu abadala, and also...
No, man, isn't that this coming week?
No, bro, that was this past weekend.
Fuck
off. You had an invite and you didn't come.
Fuck off. I thought it was this coming week.
No, bro, this past week. I'm leaving this weekend. Me, I'm out this weekend.
Do you know it's in my diary for this coming week?
I'm out this weekend, dog.
So I missed the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Friends like these.
Who needs accusers?
I mean, friends like these, the last thing you need is an accuser.
So you're feeling good, you're feeling blessed.
Man, I'm like super positive. I actually don't think I've felt like this in my entire adult life.
Yes, sir.
Funny enough. And I think everything that I've been doing since the beginning has led me up to this point. And the funny thing is, I was actually thinking about this the other day, you know, when I was just counting like my blessings.
Yes, sir.
I literally have been DJing since I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
I haven't had another job outside of music or house music. I've never had a 9-to-5. When it was unpopular for me to drop out of varsity to do and chase my dream, like, people were like, man, you're crazy. This industry is not respectable. DJs aren't respectable. And I'm literally turning 40, and that's all I've ever done. And now it's not just on a local level anymore. I literally have the entire world at my fingertips. So it's crazy, like, very, very blessed, man.
You know, it's weird because I've been doing talks at primary schools. Mm. I've been literally chatting to grade sevens. Who are obviously about to leave primary school.
Yeah.
And I tell them the exact same story, that at your age, I was starting to DJ. And because of perseverance, staying the course and persistence.
Yeah.
And also just being, what's the word I'm looking for? Be consistent at what you do and just be unrelenting.
Yeah.
That's all I've done.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's the wildest thing. What's even wilder, though, is these kids asking for autographs and not for pictures.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, where do you learn about autographs? You're like 13, you're 12.
The world is definitely not what we think it is.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. And yeah. I'm talking from the point of view of someone who literally like is in a different country almost every day of his life and seeing and experiencing like totally different things. And, you know, like that's why like I've also like, you know, people think that because of the rape accusations that, sure. like, you know, I pulled out of the South Africa.
Or they think you're lying low.
No, I'm definitely not lying low. Yeah, if you just follow me on the other things that I'm doing, you'll know.
You'll understand that you're flying higher than you've ever flown before.
Higher.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's all very exciting.
What do you say to your kids about the fact that you're on the road often and they see you maybe once a month, if they're lucky?
My kids think I work at the airport.
Are you for real?
Because every time I'm out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to the airport now. So they think I work at the airport. And I think, you know, like, you can't compare the past to today. But in the past, like, in the rural areas, at my time, I used to leave.
Yeah.
And they'd go to the cities to go work, go to the mines to go work, go wherever they used to go to go work. I'm the same. Like, yes. I get on a flight, which in my head is a bus.
Sure.
I go to Europe, I play some tunes, I come back and I'm home, I bring back the bacon, and that's what it is. So also what I think is very necessary is for kids to know that
sure.
you have to work, like, and working isn't nice. Like, go out there and work.
And sadly, you know, as much as you might want to say to them, your lifestyle is because of my hard work, you also don't want them to feel bad about
course,
the lifestyle.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you work hard, you set the example, and you hope they understand one day.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't give my kids, they have everything that they could want, but they don't get it easy. Like,
sure.
there's no soft, because the reality is that, like, we don't live in a world that accommodates anyone who's soft, because anyone who's soft gets pushed in a corner.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you have to basically live your life according to what the world dictates to you.
I remember thinking my dad must hate me because I wanted a pair of Nikes. And I remember my dad saying, I can buy you North Stars. If you want Nikes, you must work for your Nikes.
Yeah, exact.
And as a result of that, from about the age of 13, 14, 15, I learned to hustle money, you know, whether it's washing my uncle's car or helping at the shop so I can get the Nikes.
Or meaningful things, man. Like, you know what the reality is? Like, look at South Africa at the moment. I don't know. This stand to be corrected. They said 60% or 67% unemployment rate. And I can tell you, like, yes, it's difficult in this country. But can you imagine if your dad was easy on you? You wouldn't... Yeah.
You're
trying to find another way to do things, because you'd be reliant on your government, on your parents, on your schools, on your church. And unfortunately, like, you can't rely on anyone but yourself. I'm glad, like, that I had that level of teaching. I mean, like, we joke about it all the time, and it's really not funny, that had it been somebody else accused of rape, they would have killed themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, that is something intense.
Yeah.
And the fact that you are able to stand on your own two feet, a lot of people don't like that, because you aren't part of the status quo.
Yeah, you didn't crumble or collapse under all of...
You know what I mean? So
all of the weight.
Yeah, it's you literally have to be hard on yourself and teach yourself how to be strong in this world, because, like, nobody's out here looking out for you.
And I think that's a fair question to probably ask yourself as a parent. If you were to drop dead right now, would your kids survive without you?
Most people wouldn't.
Would your kids survive without you? Based on what you've taught them, based on the values that you've instilled in them, based on the relationship they have with money, based on how you've taught them about money.
You don't have to look far. Yeah, you just look around you. You'll see that, like, most people wouldn't survive.
They wouldn't survive.
Yeah, most people wouldn't survive.
And for some reason, we think because we're busy, let's spend money on the kids and they'll forgive us for how busy we are, and not teach them that you still need to work fucking hard for this money.
No, bro. I mean, like, people are, like, you know, like, I don't Netflix. I don't know what's going on in Generations.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in social media. Like, I don't know what's going on in a lot of things, because I'm so focused on what I'm doing.
Tunnel vision.
And if you look at anyone and everyone that is focused on those things,
yeah,
like, those things are distractions to distract you from living a life where you can stand up and be like, man, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and this is why I'm going to do it. Now, when they're like, there's load shedding, the only reason you're crying that there's load shedding is because you can't binge watch on Netflix. Instead of being like, man, I need to be in the studio making music. I need to be working on my projects. I need to be, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people are very, very distracted.
In fact, when load shedding started being like a problem, I remember sitting down with Shauna saying, we need to get UPS for our studio because we can't not have a studio functioning because the lights are fucking up.
A lot of people are sitting at home saying, I can't make music because the government's got load shedding, instead of saying, okay, let me make this my problem.
Yes.
And I think largely, like, that's what it is. And, you know, like, I'm so glad, like, I was born and raised in Africa, because when you leave Africa, you actually realize that, like, the rest of the world is actually built very, very soft.
Yeah.
And that's why Africans who are super focused can get ahead of any American, any European, because we are literally like aren't sitting around trying to blame someone for why we can't do something. You know, you're always like finding the next, okay, fine, this is closed, let me find the next thing. Okay, this is not happening, let me find the next thing.
So basically you're saying African resilience is a superpower we sleep on.
100%, 100%.
Because if you, in fact, if you look at the Africans that are succeeding abroad, they're always a step ahead of the American counterparts, the European counterparts, because you're African. Mm. You bring with you something that they can't bring.
I mean, like, in Europe alone, like, I'll maybe do 6-7 cities in different countries back to back.
Yeah.
A kid in Europe is like, how can you even do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, where I come from,
I do 7 gigs a night.
In order for me to do 7 gigs a night or to do 7 cities, it means I'm on a bus.
Yeah.
You are on a train, on a plane. Like, it's so easy.
Everything
to do this.
Is 45 minutes apart.
You know what I'm saying? So
that,
like,
side. Yeah.
Like, I have no excuse.
Yeah.
You know? And I know, like the other day, one of my friends was looking at my schedule and is like, man, you're going to kill yourself. And I'm like, look where we come from.
Yeah.
Like, we're here now. We can't, I don't have time to slow down or to like be like, oh, I'm going to pace myself with this thing. It's time to run. Gotta run.
And you know, people look at your schedule and forget that about 7-8 years ago, Durban July weekend, you're doing like 6-7 gigs,
like,
a night.
We, me, this guy in Kent built this shit. Like, kids don't even, like, guys don't even understand how DJs move from playing 2 hours to 1 hour. We are the ones that orchestrated all of that.
Because we're like, it's our fault.
In one night, if I can do X amount of shows, why not? There came a time we were doing like 12 shows a weekend.
Because I remember when we started insisting that I'm only playing an hour. There was pushback initially from a lot of promoters, from a lot of clubs, from a lot of venues, who said, just an hour, just an hour. Before you knew it, everyone is playing an
hour. But now, but the problem is, like, and this is the problem with a lot of things anywhere in the world. Like when I started DJing, Fresh was one of the people that, like, I looked up to.
Sure.
And luckily I had access to him. And I asked questions. Tato, why did you do this this way? Why did you do this this way? Why did you do this this way? The problem with kids now is that, like, they're not even asking, why did you guys do this this way? So that they have, like, a holistic understanding of, oh, this is only done this way because it suited this guy in his personal capacity and not because it was good for the industry at large.
Because your career is still tailor-made for yourself and no one else.
Exactly.
And some of the decisions you make might not work for someone else. I mean, I remember when we moved to 5FM, I was telling the story the other day about how the sad thing, especially with us, Bodaki, is we wait for Temba to do something. And because Temba makes it look easy, we think, Nati, we can do this.
Yeah.
We can also do this. I mean, I remember when we got to 5, you know, majority of our naysayers were actually black folk.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when we made it work, they're like, Nati is fagging. You know, we want to also be a part of this.
I mean, I've had that my entire life. Like, the majority of my naysayers have always been, like, blacks.
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Like, friends, family.
How does that make you feel, though?
It makes me feel
that you're always trying to prove friends and family wrong.
I'm not trying
wrong.
To prove anything to anyone anymore, dude. Yeah. Like, I think I stopped back in the day. Like, now I literally, I feel sorry and I feel pity for the people that don't get it. And I also don't even try to explain myself to anyone anymore, because I just know that, like, what I'm supposed to be doing is so much bigger and so much greater. The fact that I see it doesn't mean that everyone else has to see it. And my close friends know me, that I'll try my best to show everyone, guys, this is,
there's a door there,
this is the thing. And like, those that see it, we're moving. Those that don't see it,
and that's one thing I've always appreciated about you, even as you were coming up, though, that despite the fact that you were still coming up, you still had the the humility to always point out to those around you that, guys, there's a door there.
Yeah.
Go knock. And unfortunately, not everyone would knock on the door.
You know, the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, like, if I figure out how to make 100 million,
yeah,
right, and I teach you how to make 100 million, while I was making my 100 million, there were struggles that I was going through that no one will ever understand.
Yeah.
But when I teach you how to make 100 million, I'm watching you make 100 million. And in you making 100 million, I'm watching how you are doing it and what you're struggling through. And by me watching you, it'll help me make a billion quicker than I would have if I've just done it by myself.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
When you level up and open up the industry to whatever industry it is, like, and help other people get in, those people will show you other ways and you can quickly activate those things that they are doing and bring yourself up higher.
I remember I did an interview with Vusi Tembegwai, and I was telling him that that's precisely why I'm not afraid to mentor people.
Yeah.
Because often the doors you help people through, because you've dealt with all of this bullshit, these people are bringing in ideas that your blind spot might not have seen. Mm. So it's actually in your interest to bring other people
in. Definitely in your interest.
Because they're seeing shit from a different vantage point. And if you're going to be selfish and you want to gatekeep or block people off, you're blocking yourself off.
Yeah.
Because they see shit you'll never see.
Yeah. And I mean, like, also, like, if you just think about it, like, how many times over and over and over and over have we proven that, like, what is for you and no one can take it away?
Yeah.
You know, like, I make reference because it's you and because we were co-accused.
Yeah.
Like, what did we lose? Think about it. Like, in the bigger scheme, what did we lose? Did you sleep hungry ever? I can tell you that the people that accused us slept hungry. I can tell you other people who were, like, not sure to whether to believe or not to believe slept hungry. I've never slept hungry. Have you slept hungry?
No.
Are you still DJing? Probably more than you used to before. I'm playing everywhere around the world, doing things bigger and better than I was before. So when things are for you, and I think also, like, I blame us for finding ourselves in that situation. Because I actually remember it very clearly. We're on top of the castle.
Yeah.
Like, can anything come at us that will take all of this away? So the quality of your questions when you ask yourself, like, because God doesn't work in a oh, give me love, and then he's like, here's a bundle of love. He puts you through situations that are going to show you that, like, you are loved. So when you ask God, like, how strong am I?
Yeah,
he puts you through situations that show you that, like, how strong are you? And I mean, like, what more than a rape accusation and surviving that can prove to you that how strong you are? Because, I mean, like, literally, like, what can they throw at you now that can make you even shake? Nothing.
And unfortunately, as the saying goes, if he gave it to you, only he can take it away.
Man, like, I'm telling you, like, my DJ career at the moment is, like, I pinch myself sometimes trying to figure out, like, how big. Just the other day, I got invited into the DJ box with David Guetta. Like,
yeah.
I when I was here in South Africa, it's not something that I would have ever expected. It's something that was totally far away from me.
Absolutely.
Now it's happening.
Now you're colleagues.
Yeah, I'm playing Vegas, Dubai, Ibiza, for all the territories that I could have ever wished to play at. I hardly play in South Africa, and not because, like, people don't want to book me. I've closed my office down in South Africa, so you can't even book me. The only people that can book me in South Africa are the people that know me.
They know where to find
and
you.
And know how to get a hold of me. Am I working on Euphonic? Yeah, I'm still working on Euphonic. Sometimes
he gets booked.
Yeah, it's two different projects, you know. So I mean, like, I don't know who to make reference of. I think the person who's got a lot of different projects is Diplo. He's got Diplo, he's got Major Lazer, he's got Just You.
Yeah.
All of them are different projects that stand alone individually. And, like, yeah, when they serve the different purposes, it's the same guy, but the music's different or whatever it is different.
I remember when we were going through our fire and the feminazis were like, yeah, he's even changed his name to Temba.
No, he thinks
we won't find him.
No, man.
After you laughed, how did you feel about that ignorant comment?
No, the thing is, like, I've been through the types of situations like that enough to know that, like, people are going to think whatever they want to think. And I'm also definitely not the kind of guy that explains himself to anyone.
Sure.
Like me, I do my thing. If you get it, you get it. If you don't get it and you're not close enough to me to ask me the question, you'll never know what I'm doing. So, I mean, like, people around me know that, like, I started working on the Temba project, like, late 2016 and then, like, full steam in 2017. So by the time... when was this thing? 2021 came. Like, I was already, like, hardly here. I was already living in Ibiza during the summers and here during the winters.
What informed the decision to come up with the Temba project?
because I didn't want it to be something that was far away from who I am. Mm. Like, I think euphonic means a pleasing sound. Mm. And I didn't want to come up with a completely different alias. And I was like, sure. Literally, like, when I came up with euphonic, it was because in South Africa, this is the playing field. In South Africa, the music's more open format. So, like, a DJ can play from hip-hop to house to deep house to amapiano to whatever. You can literally play whatever you want. And overseas, they're a little bit more snobbish. They want to know, what do you do?
Who are you and what are you? What do you stand for?
Yeah, and what do you stand for? Yeah. So, I mean, even now, a little bit, I'm changing the way people view that overseas. So, the Temba project was literally like, I've done everything as euphonic.
Sure.
I don't want to play at another Ultra. I don't want to play at another Spring Fiesta. I don't want to play at another H2O. I don't want to play at another Taboo. Like, I've done all of those things to the max, to the heights. We've been on radio. We are on TV. We've done everything. And I was like borderline bored of what I was doing here. So I was like, okay, let me go and experience something else. And let me just go as me purely and just be like, this is what I want to do. So that's what I'm doing with the Temba project.
Did it ever get frustrating at how quick or how slow the overseas market took to Temba? Or did you ever plan and you knew it would work?
So basically, like, I had a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
And I think in 2 years we achieved what the 5-year plan was. And then COVID hit. So COVID definitely, like, slowed things down. So the only thing about that was frustrating for me at the time was just that time period between COVID, during COVID.
Sure.
But other than that, man, like, you know, like, I've literally, like, in South Africa, Fresh, Chris, Vinny, Glenn, Maloka, Oskido, those are, like, the guys that, like, know this thing backwards. And if you've sat and studied any one of these individuals, you'll know what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to conduct yourself, how you're supposed to treat other people.
Sure.
So, like, when I walk into a space overseas, I'm very confident about what I'm doing because I know how to behave and how to act. And also, like, it's not just me being like a smart DJ. Like, I go to conferences, I go to IMS, I go to ADE,
I go to Miami
Music Week. Like, I don't stop learning. I'm a nerd for this industry. Like, I'm a nerd for this business. Like, I literally was spending 2016, 2017, 2018 living in Ibiza during May to October.
Making no money.
Going to clubs just to study how a DJ walks into a DJ box, how a DJ leaves a DJ box, how a DJ, like, hands over to the next DJ, how he starts his song, how the night is opened, how the night is closed, how the clubs run, all of that. That's all I was doing for those couple of years. So, like, it's definitely no mistake. And, like, anyone that's going to be like, oh, yeah, you only did it because you have got... I don't have time for it because I know...
In fact, many are saying it was on the coattails of Natty that Temba succeeded. What do you say to those
people? Natty didn't even know what Ibiza was before I told Natty what Ibiza was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Natty found himself being booked by Seth Troxler to play at DC10.
Sure.
And I was sitting at 947 doing a show. And Natty called and he was like, I'm playing at this place called DC10. I need some music. And I was like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I'd gone to Ibiza before. You know, so, like, we've all definitely helped each other in one way or another. And yes, of course, the guy is a South African. The guy is one of my friends. So if my friends aren't opening doors for me,
who must open doors for me, and why should you be ashamed? Because you can't open a door for someone who's not ready to walk through the door, unfortunately.
But also in the same breath, Natty's opened the door for a lot more other people.
And who stepped on it?
With me, it must be that snake that I have at my house, I guess.
Absolutely. I often laugh when, you know, I've got a friend who's a bodybuilder and people say, like, yeah, you're like that because you're on steroids. Put steroids on 10 guys and then just sit down and watch TV.
No,
nothing's going to happen. But if you're willing to put in the work, you will grow.
The problem, Tato, is that, like, a lot of people, unfortunately, like, even people around us are built very weak. And when weak people don't understand why strong people are strong, they come up with excuses for them. That's why in South Africa, it's like, oh, this guy, he's only successful because of Twele. He's only successful because of his friends. He's only successful because he's got connections. Like, but if you've got so much information and you know that this guy's only...
You've got the secret.
Then why don't you do it?
You've got the secret. Why aren't you a millionaire?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
why aren't you succeeding?
It's like,
in
yeah,
your
they're part
circle.
Of the Illuminati. That's why they don't let other people in. And then you look at you, like, if it wasn't for Fresh, there would be no Kent, there'd be no Euphonic, there'd be no Temba, there'd be no Cleo, there'd be no Dino Bravo. There'd be, like, all those people wouldn't exist.
Mm. Mm.
So how are you not opening the industry? If it wasn't for me, there'd be no DJ Clock, there'd be no Prince KB, there'd be all these people that, like, I was supporting on the My House radio show on Sunday nights and giving the platform. Whereas I could have just been like, this 3-hour show is mine.
It's all mine.
And I'm going to use it for me and for no one else.
Mm. And you know, that's precisely how the Mad Half Hour started on YFM. It was my mix at the beginning of every show. My mix. Until Iggy Smalls one day came to the studio and said, I'd like to mix on your show. And I let Iggy play and people loved it. And I was like, fuck, let me let other guys play.
You see.
And before I knew it, 5 years passed and
you
I didn't.
You could have just been like, I'm not going to.
It's my show.
It's my show.
I will do the mixes.
If I'm going to play a song, it's going to be my song.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so people aren't understanding. And like, guys, like, we're conditioned to be built weak. So make yourself strong.
Let's go back to your childhood. Where were you born? Where were you raised?
So originally born just outside of Bombela in a township called Eligazi.
Okay.
Grew up in Daveyton.
Is it a Nelspruit township?
Yeah, it's a Nelspruit township.
Okay.
It's like on your way down to the Kruger Park.
Okay.
Just before Malelan. It's called Eligazi.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Born there. Then my folks moved up to Daveyton where my grandmother was living. My dad was the youngest, so he came back to live with his mother.
Mm.
So grew up at Daveyton in a township, in a section called Los Mecheri.
Okay.
Then from there, moved to Benoni. I went to St. Dunstan's College.
How old were you when you moved to Benoni?
7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so before you guys moved on up, what was the living arrangement at Los Mecheri?
We lived in a 4-bedroom house, my mom, my grandmother, and my dad.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then your dad was like, okay.
And when I say 4-bedroom, I'm not talking four rooms, kitchen, lounge, 2 bedrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your memories of living in a 4-room house?
I don't remember much of it, but we still have the house. And I can tell you that, like, I can see why my parents moved us out of there.
Yeah.
Based on, like, the people who are my friends from there, what they've done with their lives.
Mm.
And I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just like, environments really condition you to be a specific way.
What products of our environment?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Even your friends. Like, if your friends aren't ambitious, like, stay away from your friends if they're not ambitious, you know?
They say you're the sum total of your 4 closest associates.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So the 4 people you hang out the most with, wherever your life is right now, chances are that's the
And that thing is true, man. That thing is so true. If the 4 people around you are losers, guess who the 5th one is? You're the loser as well. No, seriously, like, all jokes aside, it's so true.
With all due respect, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys relocate to Benoni.
Yeah.
So that's the house Ma is still living in right now.
Yeah, Ma is still living in Benoni.
Yeah. So tell us about... All of a sudden, you're in a white neighborhood going to a very good white school.
Yeah.
The transition for yourself, do you remember that period?
I don't, because when I started going to a white school or model, I was 7 years old. So I didn't know the black whites.
You didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is that, like, when I look back in hindsight to what that did for my music career, it's insane, because we're still going back and forth in the township. So, like, I was listening to whatever the kids in the township were listening to. I was listening to whatever my parents were listening to, and I was listening to whatever the kids in school were listening to.
Yeah.
So my musical taste was very eclectic.
Sure.
And there's been periods where people have made me feel so bad for having, like, a very broad and eclectic taste in music. And I'm like, actually, this is me, and there's a reason why this is me. There's a reason why I understand, like, all these different genres of music and how I'm able to implement it into what I do. If you remember the Ultimix at 6, it was literally like black beat with a white vocal.
Mm.
And that's how we made white kids love black music, and black kids would like white music.
And in fact, I think that background is precisely why it was easy to transition from being a mixed DJ on, say, a YFM and going to 5FM.
Yeah.
And I often argue the same thing, that if I didn't go to a primary school with kids from 40 countries or a high school with kids from 50 countries, I don't think I would have been the same DJ on 5FM that I was.
Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, like a lot of people are brought up easy and a lot of people are brought up very, very tough. But... embrace that, because when you do look back sooner or later, you'll actually realize that, like, this was just training for what I'm doing now.
It's a foundation.
I mean, like, I remember this time we did like a crazy, I don't know where we were coming from, but I think we were playing in Witbank and then we had to make the Swaziland border.
Yeah, we played in Witbank and then we had to go over the mountain, past Barberton to go to the Swati border.
So we played in Witbank and we had to make the Swaziland border.
Yeah.
Logistically, it was psychotic and we shouldn't have agreed to do it. Mm. And I look at like my schedule now, and when somebody else looks at it, like, it's like, but this is psychotic. Why would you even do this? And I'm like, I've done worse.
So, I've done this in a car.
So this is actually easy for me, because, like, no, this is simple. I'm just going to hop from here to there, there from here to there. And then, like, and then this is my, like, so all of the things that you do today are actually like things that are preparing you for the future. It's also like, just my entire ethos about, like, me and my personality is like in whatever I'm doing, like from watching the likes of you and everyone else. Like, I remember being on 5FM and having been called into a meeting at 5FM and they were like, you need to do things this way. And I was like, no, what you guys are not understanding is that, like, I am Euphonic and 5FM is one of the things that I do. So exactly. I'm not 5FM's Euphonic. Mm. So I can't abide to the ethos of 5FM. I need to abide to my ethos. So, but if you
I'm
want
bringing
to,
Euphonic to 5FM.
Yeah, so if you want me to change me to suit 5FM, then I have to leave.
Sure.
Because whether 5FM is here or not here, I'm still going to be Euphonic.
Mm.
The same with...
And you can't dilute
the
that.
The same being with being at 947, and the same with everything else that I do. Like, there's very few people in this country, in the world, actually, that can stand on their own two feet and not be pushed down or pushed over.
Mm.
And I think, like, if you are, like, working for a platform, make sure that you build yourself using that platform to be able to stand on your own two feet, because at one point or other, you're going to have to leave that platform.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, think about you. Like, you left YFM. It wasn't nice.
Sure.
You moved to 5FM. You left 5FM on your own terms. You went to Metro. You left Metro. It wasn't nice. When you left 947, it wasn't nice. But why were you able to survive? You were able to survive because I've done this thing before.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm. And I've built goodwill and I've built a name. You know, we're laughing about just last year, the fact that I probably gigged more last year than I've gigged in a while, and haven't been on radio in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But because you've built something, you've built a name people can actually bet on, that I can call this guy and I'll make money.
Yeah.
That shit still feeds you.
Yeah.
And remember, we used to talk about it, that would we get gigs without radio? Remember, we discussed about 10 years ago, we used to have those conversations about 10 years ago, that fuck, without radio, would we be fine? And we haven't had radio in three years almost.
More, like, to the extent where last year I turned down two radio shows. Mm. I turned down a radio show in Ibiza.
Yeah.
I turned down a radio show in France. Because I'm just like, I don't need it. When I want to do it, when I'm ready to do it. Right now, I'm still like, there's things that I'm working on that, like, I need to achieve before I jump on. Because when I do jump on that platform, like, I'll know what to do with it at that time.
Mm.
It's also just like having that understanding. I mean, like, I've been like, dog, get back on radio. And you're like, no, not now. I'm not ready.
Mm.
Because you know that, like, you know, when you are ready to go, you know exactly what to do with it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I was supposed to get on radio in March. And I remember saying to them, I've got other shit I'm working on. Unless you're going to let me do my shit and the radio show, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And now there's more shit I need to do next year. So I can't be on radio next year because there's more shit to do. And I love the fact that I can say no to radio. I thought I'd be sad about it.
Yeah.
But I'm actually fine with it.
Listen, guys, like, what people don't understand is that no one hates you more than your family. No one hates you more than your closest friends. No one hates you more than the people from the hood that you come from, because no one wants to see you get ahead or to achieve your fullest potential.
Mm.
So learn to stand on your own two feet.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, just think about it. Like, in South Africa, when somebody is doing something amazing, what do we say? He's gone.
Yeah.
And, like, when you actually unpack that for yourself, like, when you say somebody, Uhambi, why don't you just say congratulations?
Sure.
But when you say uhambile, you're actually saying usshiyile thina, usshiye kanjani.
Mm.
And then when you fail, they're like, ah, vele bengacabanga ukuthi uzoyenza kanjani ngoba thina usshiye kanjani, sika uyilubuyile like us. Do you know what I'm saying? And, like, that's why I'm saying that, like, you literally need to work yourself to a position where you can stand on your own two feet and no one and nothing can shake you.
And do things on your terms.
On your terms, or fully on your terms. And know that, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be able to stand by this. And even if I get questioned or even if I fail, I'll fail knowing that, like, this is the thing that I wanted to do.
And unfortunately, especially in our industry, a lot of people's movement is dependent on other people.
Yeah. That
unless I have a sponsor, unless someone angfaga, unless SABC give me a gig, unless MultiChoice give me a gig. And the attitude needs to be, I'm a train. At 10 p.m., the train leaves the station.
100%.
With or without a passenger.
100%.
And the sooner you can have that attitude about everything that you do, you'll be amazed at how much you can do by yourself on your own terms.
Yeah, the problem is, like, also, like, this thing of, like, doing things for other people. Like, I hardly post about the work that I do. I hardly post about my family. I hardly post about, like, things that are close to me. Why? Because I'm definitely not doing it for anyone else. I am doing this just to put a smile on my face.
Yes.
And if somebody else smiles, amazing. Good for you. I'm happy. But it will always be just for me. Like, I'm not going out creating content because I'm trying to impress anyone else. I couldn't care. I literally couldn't care. And I'm not just saying that. Like, people that know me know that, like, this guy doesn't give a damn. I really don't give a damn about anyone else and how they feel about me. I really don't care.
Let me tell you how much of a damn Temba doesn't give. Euphonic's dad is a no-nonsense, was a no-nonsense man. May his soul rest in peace. Your dad was a no-nonsense man.
100%.
And you still defied him when he said, this DJing thing is a waste of time. Go finish there by UJ.
Yeah, no.
Take us through that era. In fact, let's actually forget UJ. Let's talk about the time I was DJing in Pretoria and you sneaked out of the house to come to my gig.
No, it wasn't in Pretoria.
Was it not in Pretoria?
It was in Davidson.
At a club,
it was not Davidson, sorry. It was in Benoni at a club at Lakeside Mall.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I forget
yes,
what
yes.
the name of the club is, but me, Ninja, and I think Mbumi, we all, like, went to the club. We walked to the club from Benoni, and it's like probably an hour and a half walk from where we live to the to the club. We literally went into the club. We sat in the front. We watched you play.
Yeah.
After that, we walked home. When I got home, and I think we got home at like 3 in the morning.
How old are you?
Man, definitely not older than probably 16. My dad was waiting for me behind the door. Like, I was sneaking in, and my dad was like, so my dad heard the gate open because we had one of those remote gates, so I couldn't bypass that.
So when
the gate opened, like, my dad was waiting for me behind the door. I got the hiding of my life. And you know what? Like, it was painful, but I went to bed satisfied that night because I'd done something that,
towards your,
that ultimately fulfills
your
like,
love.
Yeah. Something that I love. And when my dad was like, you need to choose between DJing or this, it was a very easy choice for me. In hindsight, I'm like, man, you're crazy. Like, why would you do that? But like, I'm glad I made those decisions. And like, I pick the things that I love over and above everything and anything.
So let's go to, so you're done with high school now. You are at UJ. You're living at, what's
the yard.
You're living at the yard. The infamous yard.
I made the yard. Me and Frankie made the yard infamous. There's a reason why they called me the Rez Invader.
We shall leave it at that. So you're deciding that my DJing is working.
Yeah.
I'm on radio now. I don't want to do this. How did that affect your relationship with your dad?
So I was, in my mind, what I think, quite smart about it. Because they made me stop DJing my matric year to finish matric. Finished matric, I qualified to get into UJ, which was like the thing that my dad wanted. The first thing I did when I got to UJ was start building a DJ society with Frankie. and then end of 2003, I got the residency at...
Huzu.
At Huzu.
Yeah.
And... already it was working because, like, I was actually making very decent money, like, even in my teens, like 250 a week, like, a weekend.
It's a ton of money.
For a teenager, it's, like, a lot of money, man, you know? And then when I started playing at Huzu, I was like, I'm going to call the number. I was making 70K a month back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, if varsity's 12 grand, 70 minus 12 grand, like, nah, man, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. So I said to my dad, listen, can I have the invoices for the university?
Yeah.
And he gave them to me. And like the next week, they were all paid up. And he was like, how did you pay for them? And I was like, no, I made some money from DJing.
Yeah.
And at the time, they didn't trust me because they thought, like, I'm definitely selling drugs or doing something that's like, not upstanding. So did that, paid for the second year.
Mm.
Because, like, at the time, like, I mean, like, even today, like, I have, like, hardly any use for money. Like,
and you'd bought yourself a car already?
Yes, bought myself a car. Yeah. I was living at the yard. Like, I needed for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I paid off all my varsity. Mm. And then second year, I was like, I'm out. Eh?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's paid off for the year. I'm dropping out. You're not losing money. So I don't know where it hurts you in your pocket.
So, I'm your dad, damn it.
So just leave me to do what I'm... And I tried to explain it to him. And I was like, you know what? Like, there's people who are working and I'm making more money than those people that are working. Mm. And even if this fails in like 2 or 3 years, I'm still young enough that I can go back to varsity. So why waste the time? So what I started...
Why waste this momentum that I'm on?
So what I started doing after I got kicked out of home is that I was like, okay, I'm not going to stay at the yard forever.
Okay, and so you were kicked out of home?
Yeah, out.
How did that conversation go?
No, it was very simple. My dad was like... My dad is like me, like it's this or that.
Yeah.
He was like,
fit in or fuck off.
He was like, la, abantwana abahlala la kulendlule bayafunda.
Yeah.
Abantwana bangafundi abahlali la. So when if you azazi ukuthi awufundi, awusahlali la.
Yeah.
So you'll figure yourself out. And I was like, okay, cool.
Mm.
And my mom.
Were you sad? Were you glad?
Man, I had to do what I needed to do. Yeah. I understood because like that's been the talk in my entire family since.
But what emotion did you feel hearing him say that though?
No, I mean, the one thing that he did say at the end, he was like, we'll just wait for people to come back with their tails in between their legs.
Yes.
And I was like, that's never going to be me, man.
That was the conversation when I left for Joburg.
Yeah, I was like, that's never going to be me. My mom was like, man, like, just listen to your dad. And I was like, ma, like, this is...
Not this time.
Yeah, not this time. So what I did do, though, that like made him and made them comfortable is that like I started exposing them to the world of DJing and like what it was about. And then they started hearing my name on radio.
Yes.
I introduced them to you guys. Like,
I remember your folks came to one of our parties at Vaka.
Yeah.
I was standing at VIP there. And our parties at Vaka sometimes go wild. And I sat at our table there watching your parents. Because my worry was... I'm worried. So I spent half of the night watching your dad, watching the party.
Yeah.
And I was like, whew, at least it was...
No, it was chill. I mean, like, afterwards, because, like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to stay at the yard forever or, like, do DJing forever. So I started investing in property. And what I was doing is I got him involved in it. Like, I'd save up money. I'd say, here, I've got this money. Can you please hold it for me?
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. Like,
sure.
And
then so you involved him.
Yeah. And then when I was ready to buy a house, he was the guy that, like, paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you made him see that this is the money that's coming in.
But I mean, like, it took a long time for them to figure out that, like, okay, this is actually legit and he's not just, like, selling drugs or doing things that, like, aren't above board.
So you lost dad a couple of years ago. During COVID.
Yeah.
Tell us about managing a loss of a titan like that in your life.
I mean, I, like, for me, it's like that is... one of the people that I've known my entire life. I don't know life without those people. Bar the 2 or 3 years where we were not getting along because of being a DJ, that guy was my guy. Like, he knew everything. He knew about girls.
And he was a dude, man.
Yeah, he knew about, like... Like, if I was doing anything weird, he'd like, just come tell me first, you know? So, like, I'd went to him for advice on everything. Like, he'd advise and show me the way on anything. I could speak to him about anything. Like, if something good happens to me, he's one of the first people that I'd pick up the phone and call.
I remember when we'd sometimes laugh at, you know, you'd have a girl problem and we'd talk about it and you'd tell me what your dad said about it.
Yeah, he's the guy, man, you know? So when I lost that guy, like, I literally, like, I remember, like, because he was sick for a while. So thank God, like, I was able to watch him deteriorate. Because if it was just, like, an instant thing, I don't think I would be okay even today.
Sure.
I watched him deteriorate. I even remember saying to him, man, like, you've done enough. It's cool. Like, don't worry about us. Go. Like, everything is going to be sorted.
But watching him deteriorate, as you're calling it, though, how are you, where are you drawing strength from? To keep going.
From him, because we're still talking.
And to also show up for your mom. Because obviously mom now is about to lose her guy.
No, I mean, like, when I say that guy is my guy, like, I'm the type of human today that I don't even need to pick up the phone to call my dad to download anything. Because when he was alive, he literally downloaded everything that, like, so all these situations, like, this is what happens when this happens. When this happens, this is what you do.
Sure.
When you go here, this is what you do. Like, so all of those things are things that, like, I'd already, like, known. Would say, okay, when it's his time to go, like, I mean, he told me 2 days, put me in the ground. In 2 days, he was in the ground, you know? So, like, I knew everything that needed to be done. So spend time with your family and friends, guys. Like, and that's where, like, I learned a lot about love. Like, if you say you love something or you love someone, make sure that you don't have any regrets about that love.
Sure.
Yeah, make sure that you go to the ends of the world chasing, fulfilling, nurturing that love, because there's going to come a time where you are not able to do that. Like now, if I had to, like, for whatever reason, not be able to DJ anymore, I've DJed so much that, like, I wouldn't regret it.
It's okay.
I wouldn't regret it. You know, I spent so much time with my dad that, like, I don't regret it. I spent so much time with my kids that, like, if something had to happen to one of them, I don't. My mother, every day, I'm like, how are you? Just to say, how are you? You know what I'm saying? If she's got a problem, I've got a problem. And I'll make sure that my mother's problem is sorted out before my problems are sorted out. Like my wife, she knows she can 100% rely on this guy for whatever it is. Yes, I'm human. Yes, nazintozam. But if you love something, show up for that thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
What did your folks say when it's all over the place that someone you've never ever met is saying you drugged her and you raped, or might have raped her, were the words?
So my dad was gone at that time. My mother was just like, what is this? She's like, oh, okay. Okay, shut out. Because my parents know me. They know my character. They know the type of human being that I am. And they know that, like, if... So I've got that relationship with my parents that if I'm ever going to do anything wrong, they'll be the first people to hear about it.
Sure.
Yeah, so... It wasn't that much of a, in fact, in my entire family, it wasn't that much of a thing. It affected me. And the reason why it affected me is because of how I viewed myself.
Sure.
I was like, I would never do that to someone. It's not a position that I would find myself in. It's not a thing that I would do, period, you know? But also, like, what's confusing is that, like, who is this person? And why is this person doing the thing that this person is doing? You know, but as you learn, like, why all of this is happening, you actually remember that, like, it's, well, number one, it's the quality of questions that I ask to God. God, what could possibly bring me down?
Sure.
And God brings you the thing that could possibly bring you down. And you're like, okay, so I need to stand strong and I need to be able to fight this. And over and above standing strong and fighting this thing, you have to still carry on. My dad just passed away. I have to look after my family, my siblings, my staff, everything. Like, nothing can stop.
Sure.
Everything has to carry on. And basically, just like, you know, also, like, it's teaching you that, like, who is for you and who isn't for you.
Sure.
You know, so in my family, it wasn't a thing. Definitely not a thing.
When did you realize that this thing might be orchestrated? Because they reached a time where I'm like, no, man, this thing must be orchestrated.
I mean, like, when the cops were calling us to try and, like, be like...
Well, we assume it was cops.
Yeah, we assume it was cops.
You know, it was phone calls, someone saying, we can make this go away for 20 grand.
Yeah, like, for 20 grand, I was like, no, I'm not. Like, this isn't the thing. I'm gonna fight this thing to the very end. Sure. Mind you, we're still fighting this thing. You know what I'm saying? But it was just, like, it was just weird, the whole thing, because you're like, I've never been in a B&B in Pretoria.
Sure.
This girl, the way she looks, is not someone I'd look at twice.
She's not your type.
Definitely not.
I wouldn't touch her with someone else's dick either.
So, like, also just like the like drugs. I've never taken a drug in my life. Alcohol. I've never abused alcohol in my life. So all these things that, like, people were saying are things that, like, I'm like, this is not me.
Sure.
So, like, yes, it hurts that, like, this is said about me, but this is definitely not me. And it's easy for anyone to believe because, man, you are, I'm going to call it, balls deep in the industry of sex, drugs, and alcohol. So this is plausible. And anyone that looks at our lives is like, these guys are banging girls, living the high life, fast cars, assumingly taking drugs. And I'm like, I can tell you now with everything that, like, no one can build the types of careers that we've built and be on drugs and be on alcohol and live recklessly. No one. No one.
And survive.
And you've seen people come and go, and we are still here, standing strong, doing the same thing that we stand
and
for.
And they will still come, and they will still go, and still find us doing this thing.
But, I mean, like, from what I could see, like, there was just somebody very smart who figured out a way to get budget for GBV cases or GBV, whatever you want to call it, and had figured out that, like, okay, who are the people that we can target? Let's find someone who's money-hungry enough, dumb enough, psychotic enough to be able to want to back and be the face of this thing, and we'll give them all the money in the world. And then we'll find, like, voices of reason in your all the other ladies that were behind this thing. And that's how they were making money. I don't know. I stand to be corrected. I have I have no idea. What I do know is that, like, to every single one of those people that were involved in this thing, I don't know about you, I'll speak for myself, but me, as Themba Nkosi, I am so grateful because you showed me how strong I am, you showed me how resilient I am, and you showed me how actually God is still, like, keeping me for bigger and better things. And it's proof in my life today because of the things that I am doing. So, yes, it's upsetting and fuck you, but also on the other side, thank you so much because, like, if it wasn't for you doing that to me, I wouldn't have realized how great I am.
You'd be coasting along.
Man, I imagine I'd still be here. I'd still be doing, like, things that, like, are, like, very average
in hindsight.
Now instead, I'm, like, flying, like, higher than I've ever flown before. Like, I look at you, I'm like, I get upset that you're not on radio, but, like, in hindsight, like, you're actually doing, you're not supposed to be there. You did your time. It's gone. You're doing things like where you're inspiring other children to do what you've done. So, like, and if that hadn't happened, you'd still be doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it was a necessary push in the right direction.
And I wouldn't be farming, like, you know, I didn't even know I had a green fingertip on myself.
Man, listen, and with me particularly, it's shown me that, like, you know, like, I am South African. I'm from South Africa. Everything that I've done has been in and around South Africa. And if I'd gone overseas, it was always because, like, I'm coming back to execute in South Africa. Sure. Like, I'd go to Miami, research, and then come back and execute in South Africa. I literally, this year, probably have done not even 2 or 3 shows in South Africa. So it's showing me that, like, I actually don't need the entire country. And I say that boldly and I say that strongly.
Sure.
Not don't need, as in, like, I don't care for the people, because there are still a lot of people in this country that love and support and come to my shows overseas. But what I'm saying is that, like, things happen to and for you to show you that your comfort zones are just that. They're just comfort zones. So get out of your comfort zones. And for me, what I'm doing now, for one person to be like, man, I'm inspired by that, is my job done.
Sure.
Because also, I'm not a politician. I'm not trying to change South Africa. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm trying to change things for me and for my family at large and for the people around me. If I was a politician, I'd have to be here saying, okay, guys, how do we change this? Let's do this. Let's do that. But I'm not. So I'm not here to try and save anyone else. I'm not here to, like, even the term role model for me is like, wow. Like,
I'm an entertainer. If I inspire you, good. If I don't,
I'm just a guy that plays tunes, makes tunes, buys house, lives my life the way I want to live my life. I bother no one. The other thing that upset me about that whole thing is that, like, I bother no one.
Sure.
I literally bother no one. I mind my own damn business. And now, like, I'm sitting minding my own business and, like, somebody wants to come and be a pain in my ass.
Dude.
For what?
Dude. How much of a pain in your ass or how much of a disappointment was it that Thando Tabete is our friend? Fuck, we even hired her on our ship. And then she goes and tweets that, listen, I'm willing to pay for your legal fees.
Look, I addressed Thando myself personally. Yeah. And like, again,
what excuse did she give you?
I actually don't remember what she said, but
I'll remind you, she was put under pressure by one of the feminazis.
Yes, yes. But the reality, and
I even have a screenshot of the pressure from one of these
you're
feminazis.
You're so upset.
No, let me tell you why it upset me.
Yeah.
Because I take it that we're cool, we're friends. At a certain level, we've even mentored you. Now, you're going to say that someone we've never met that is telling these salacious lies about us that could have us thrown in jail for 15 to life.
Yeah.
And all you're going to say is, if you need legal fees, I will pay them.
Yeah.
Is you saying fuck you to us,
yeah,
to our friendship, to all that we have behind us, as opposed to picking up the phone and saying, Themba, what's going on here?
Can I tell you, like, one of the things that I learned from you in particular, from just watching you, from hanging out with you, from like how you handle your family to how you handle work. Like, Tato, you've always been the guy that's like, come to work, do what you're supposed to do, do it at the highest level that possible.
And fuck off.
And go home.
Yeah.
So you're not actually upset at Tando. You're upset at yourself. Because that is a lesson that you've taught everyone around you but have forgotten to take it upon yourself. So when I look at this Tando Tabeto, or anyone in fact, that I believed or wanted to believe or was against or whatever, I'm literally like, I couldn't care because you are part of the weak. You're part of the weakness. You want to do things to appease the next person. Oh, it's cool for everyone to do this. Let me do that.
Sure.
These guys. So Tando Tabeto's never actually liked you. Mm. She's never actually liked me. And now she's got the opportunity to actually show people that she actually didn't.
Sure.
So why are you concerned?
Mm.
Like, don't concern yourself.
Mm.
Because even with like other friends and DJ people, like people that I still talk to today who are like, with Euphonic and Fresh out of the scene, we have time to thrive now. And they're still not thriving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so yeah, like, I remember those two DJs.
So you can't be upset. Like, all you can do is literally laugh and literally, like, look. Because, like I don't show my life and I don't show anything about my life. And
sure.
I, you know, so no one will actually see, like, how bad or how good I'm actually doing. But I can see everyone's lives because they're actually showing. And I can tell you that people who show a lot of their lives actually suck. And people who need the validation of the audience, of the crowd, like, I feel sorry for those people. So, like, my answer to that question in a very long-winded way is not just Tando Tabeto, but I feel sorry for everyone. Yeah.
We are out of time. Well, we're not out of time, but we're being told we need to wrap up. And you've got a school pickup.
Yeah, I've got a school pickup
in 45 minutes. So what's next for Temba? Because, I mean, you've been busy, you're on the road, you've got 5 kids to raise from the airport since they think you work at the airport. What's next for you? Like, I mean, you're living your wildest dream right now.
Right now I'm living like the ultimate wild DJ dream. I travel so much, I see so much. And what I can say is that, like, I've got a notebook and I'm going around the world and I'm making notes. Because all my wildest dreams and all the things that like were goals, I've crushed them. And I didn't think beyond those goals.
You didn't have a what next.
Yeah, I didn't have a what next. So I'm going through life now, like, you know, like reassessing like what it is that I do want to do. And like God is showing me so many different things.
Sure.
And I just need to decide which one of these things do I want and like. You know, like in the summer I live in Ibiza. I've got a house in South Africa. I want a house in Miami. You know, like, I'm still going to carry on DJing because DJing is the thing that I love the most.
Feeds your soul.
Yeah, it feeds my soul.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, like, I know I can do anything and everything that I want. So it's just literally, I just need to decide.
Sure.
And, yeah, I'll do it.
Has Ntsiki Mazwai paid you your money?
Hey, you love this. Ntsiki hasn't paid me. Ntsiki says she doesn't have money.
How much does she owe you?
I think like 200K.
What, in legal fees?
Yeah, in legal fees. Okay. She says she doesn't. Like, also Ntsiki, I feel sorry for all these people. Like, I honestly feel sorry for Ntsiki because, like, Ntsiki, I met through Spectacular when we did Urongo back in the day.
Yeah.
And, like, Urongo was so big.
Mm.
So, like, I did something so big for Ntsiki.
Mm.
For her to turn around and do something like this to me, like, and with absolutely no, just because she hates me, and just because, like, when we were joking around on Twitter, I called her dirty the one day. And this was, like, obviously before Twitter was as intense as it was. But, like, it was literally just banter on social media. I'm sorry you took it so seriously. And I'm sorry you thought that, like, calling me a rapist was going to do anything to me or anything to my life. But I do forgive you. That's why I don't care about what you do. My lawyers will deal with you. Have a good life. Numpri, have a good life. Everyone else, like, enjoy your life. Life's too short to, like, bicker about, like, what other people are doing. Like, I've got so much that I need to do and so much that I need to fulfill in this exceptionally short space and time that, like, I can't stop for every dog that's barking or for every human being that's throwing a stone at me. Like, I have to march along. And I know that, like, if there is something that's going to stop me, it will only be because God has allowed that thing to stop me. But, you know, like, I'm not a bad guy. I really am not a bad guy. Yeah, like, I've got izinto zami, but I'm not a bad guy, and I won't allow anyone else to make me out to be a bad guy, you know, because I sit, I reassess, I look at myself, I... Like, how many times have I called you out for... I call him out. I'm like, dog, this and this.
No, Tem is one of the first guys who ever will call me and say, listen, no, not that.
You know what I mean? Like,
and I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, so like, I call myself out. So I know I'm not a bad guy, you know, so like, and I'm not expecting anyone else to understand, because people are generally, like, cowards are always looking for strong men to fall. Like, they are. That's why they're cowards. So I... Like, I have no hard feelings against anyone. Like, do your thing, do you, do it again. And the thing is, like, you know, like, my parents have been, like, such strong support systems for me in my life. Like, to the extent that, like, if I lost something, they're always like, if you lost something, it's because God's making way for a bigger thing to come.
True.
So, like, when I lost things... In my entire life, I was always just, okay, there's definitely something bigger. Coming. And it something's always coming. Has. Yeah. And it always has. And it always does. You know, so like, you actually need to pray and hope that like people take the things that you consider as big away from you, because something bigger actually does come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you want your money back?
I mean, I'll get the money back. I'll get, whether it's through... her or through other means, like the money will definitely come back. The thing is, are they able to live with themselves? Are they able to?
They don't give a fuck.
I think you say that. I think
they don't give a fuck. It's on to the next one. This big target didn't fall. We'll find another one.
I think you say that. I think you say that. I think if you just study like human psychology, and I read a lot, you know, like. There's a book you should read, The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene. Definitely read that book. You'll realize why certain people do certain things. Like, how is anyone that is at any level productive on Twitter every day, all day? Because what you are is what you spend your time doing. So if I wake up every day and go to the studio, like, eat food, go back to the studio, like, et cetera, like, it means I'm a studio guy, I work in the studio, right? If I'm on Twitter every day, like, I'm just a Twitter person. So what you spend your time doing is who you actually are. So if you spend your time hating on other people, you're just a hater. That's who you are. You can,
or you're hate.
You can paint yourself however you want to look at yourself and be like, no, this person did this, or like, I feel like this person. Look at Basitsana and Romeo Khumalo. 5 years later, Jackie was like, I tweet what I want, sue me. Did she not just get sued? Now she's going to end up in jail.
Yeah.
Because you were just hate.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, love and good and kindness and light will always win. Always.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, Themba Euphonic Nkosi is about to leave the building. And we are done. The fuel prices show no indication of decreasing anytime soon, which might mean less traveling. However, it also means an excuse to say no to visiting relatives that you don't like, or giving a lift to some nagging auntie or deadbeat from the neighborhood. It is in this spirit of optimism and love that we wish you a wow week ahead. From AMP Studios, we wish you an incredible week. Shout out to Africa Podcast Network, Pezulu Works for the cinematography, all of our audio imaging courtesy of Otis the Flo Fraser, and our guests today, Themba, a.k.a. Euphonic, and comedian Ebenezer Dibakwane. Shout out to our creative producer, Krivesh Mohan, and our show producer, Kiles Omudisa King. Email us at wow@africapodcastnetwork.com. Have a great week, in spite of yourselves.